ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ ज्ञान सुग्रंथस्य ज्ञानांजना श्लाघया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। हरे कृष्णा। The blessings of all of you devotees, I would like to glorify Bali Maharaj and Lord Vamandev in this beautiful pastime. So we are on 8th canto, chapter 20, verse number 14. So let's first chant this verse. Can you play with? Shri Shuka Vacha Evam Ashraddhitam Shishyam Anadesha Karam Guru Sashapa Daiva Prahita Satya Sandham Manaswinam. Anadeshakaram Guru Sashapa Daiva Prahita Satya Sandham Manaswinam. Shishuka Vacha Evam Ashraddhitam Shishyam Anadeshakaram Guru Sashapa Daiva Prahita Satya Sandham Manaswinam. Shishuka Vacha Evam Ashraddhitam Shishyam Anadeshakaram Guru Sashapa Daiva Prahita Satya Sandham Manaswinam. Synonyms. Shri Shuka Vacha. Shri Shukdev Goswami said, Evam, thus, Ashraddhitam, who was not very respectful to the instructions of the spiritual master, Shishyam, unto such a disciple, Anadeshakaram, who was not prepared to carry out the orders of his spiritual master, Guru, the spiritual master Shukracharya, Sashapa, cursed, Daiva Prahita, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, Satya Sandham, one who was fixed in his truthfulness, Manaswinam, who was of a highly elevated character. Translation. Shri Sukhdev Goswami continued, thereafter the spiritual master Shukracharya, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, cursed his exalted disciple Bali Maharaj, who was so magnanimous and fixed in truthfulness that instead of respecting his spiritual master's instructions, he wanted to disobey his order. Translation.
The difference between the behavior of Bali Maharaj and that of his spiritual master Shukracharya was that Bali Maharaj had already developed love of Godhead, whereas Shukracharya, being merely a priest of routine rituals, had not. Thus, Shukracharya was never inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to develop in devotional service, as stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tisam satya sukanam bhajavatam priti purukaram dadami buri yogam tam hiena mam upantite To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Devotees who actually engage in devotional service with faith and love are inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnavas are never concerned with ritualistic Smarata Brahmanas. Srila Sanata Goswami has therefore compiled Hari Bhakti Vilasa to guide the Vaishnavas who never follow the Smarata Vidhi. Although the Supreme Lord is situated in the core of everyone's heart, unless one is a Vaishnava, unless one is engaged in devotional service, one does not get sound advice by which to return home back to Godhead. Such instructions are meant only for devotees. Therefore, in this verse, the word Daiva Prayata, be inspired by the Supreme Lord, is important. Sukha Acharya should have encouraged Bali Maharaj to give everything to Lord Vishnu. This would have been a sign of love for the Supreme Lord, but he did not do so. On the contrary, he wanted to punish his devoted disciple by cursing him.
Okay. So here we see that Bali Maharaj is not following the orders of his spiritual master Shukracharya. Generally speaking, this is a very heinous act. We should never give up on our guru. Once there was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada and they went to Vrindavan, and there he associated with the Gaudiya devotees, and he was attracted by their speech of higher rasas. So he said to Prabhupada that, actually I want to go and learn about this higher rasas, about my Siddha Swarup. Prabhupada said, I bless you to go to hell. So that's the severity of going against your spiritual master and think that you can do something better than what your spiritual master is telling you. So generally speaking, we should never be inspired by this pastime that we can give up our spiritual master by our own strength. But here the situation is a little different. So here he is not a Vaishnava spiritual master. That's why Bali Maharaj is rejecting him. But generally speaking, we should not apply. We should spend a lot of time before we decide our spiritual master. And once we decide, we should surrender to him. Yeah, because we may not understand the intelligence of spiritual master, how he is seeing things and how he is directing us for our own benefit. So here, why was Bali Maharaj so determined to disobey his spiritual master? Even materially speaking, Shukracharya is such a great personality, and Bali Maharaj owes a lot to him. So if we go back in the Chakshushas Manu, the sixth Manu's time, there was this pastime of ocean churning. Before that, the demigods were defeated by demons. They were guided by Shukracharya, and Bali Maharaj has conquered over the post of Indra. And then later, the demigods took shelter of Lord Ajita, and who helped them to churn the ocean of milk and give nectar to them. We heard all this pastime. And again, the demons were defeated, and they were even killed by the Indra. And the Bali Maharaj was dead, and his dead body was brought to Shukracharya. And he is the person who knows Sanjeevani Vidya. Sanjeevani Vidya is a science which can bring a person to life if all the limbs of his body are intact. If they are there together, he can join them and he can bring them to life by this mantra. Only Lord Shiva and Shukracharya knew this Vidya. So he brought him to life. So in a way, Shukracharya is having a role of his mother, father and guru. So Bali Maharaj owes a lot to Shukracharya, and Shukracharya had him do, after that defeat, he had him do a lot of sacrifices, lot of yajnas, lot of worship. And Bali Maharaj was so much indebted to him that he respected him so much. And under his direction, he again became victorious. He again went to Indra and he again got back that Indra post. And he again started ruling. And Shukracharya told him that you should do 100 Ashwamedh Yajna, because last time you didn't do it. And then that's why you had to lose that post again, because that's a rule of this universe that you have to do 100 Ashwamedh Yajna to make your post secure as a Indra. So then Shukracharya engaged him doing this Ashwamedh Yajna. So we see that all the victory, all the wealth, all the fame so far had been because of the instructions of Shukracharya. And now Bali Maharaj is so much determined that he is not willing to follow the instructions of Shukracharya. So what is that thing which is different? So that is something which we'll discuss. And also Shukracharya is not described to be an ordinary person. Lord Krishna himself counts Shukracharya as one of his opulence. Do you remember how Krishna, one of his opulences, like in the 10th chapter? No, not gurus. yeah, but he says, of all the thinkers, I am Shukracharya. Of all the intelligent people, of the great thinkers, Kavi Naam Ushna Kavi. That's what Lord says. So what, Tataji? Yeah. So Shukracharya is not an ordinary person. He is recognized by Lord Krishna himself to be the great thinker. So his thinking cannot be flawed. Whatever he is thinking is for the victory of Bali Maharaj always. And Bali Maharaj knows this. And still, what is that thing which attracted Bali Maharaj so much that he is willing to reject his guru, Shukracharya? So when Lord Vamandev appeared on the request of Mother Aditi, and he came to the sacrifice arena of Bali Maharaj, he was very brilliant and he was very beautiful. And then Bali Maharaj offered him a place to sit, and he washed his feet, and he asked that, "It seems that you have come to ask something from me, so you can ask whatever you like." And then the Vamandev said, "I just want 3 steps of land, but measured from my own steps." That's what he said. So seemingly it appeared that he is such a small dwarf boy. So I mean, even if he want 3 steps, he should have asked from somebody else's steps, because that will give him sufficient land. But his steps are so small, what will he measure? So Lord wanted to do this dramatic pastime by drawing on the contrast. So then Bali Maharaj said, "Your words are very wise, that of an elderly person, but you are a Balishamati, you are a childish intelligence. You cannot think for your welfare very well. So, and you have come to ask from me, I can give you so much more. And it's, don't defame me by asking such a small thing. And you should never have feel the need of going to anybody else having come to me. So you should ask for more." But the Lord Vamandev explains a great philosophy, that one who is not satisfied cannot be satisfied even by the gain of the 3 worlds. And then like this, he again insisted that he just want 3 steps of land. Seeing this, Shukracharya understood that this boy is Lord Vishnu. Because he is a great thinker, he is a great intelligent person, and he can foresee the future. So he could see that he is going to snatch away everything, and he immediately came and told Bali Maharaj that, "No, you should not give. You should not give whatever he is asking." Then Bali Maharaj said, "I have already promised." Then Shukracharya goes on to explain so many other religious principles, that how he can find a loophole and still not give. He said, when you promised him, that time you didn't know that he is Vishnu and he has come to do you a harm. So in that situation, you can take back your promise. And he said that the great philosophers and jnanis, they do not appreciate such a charity which destroys one's livelihood, fame, and religiosity. So he will take everything from you. So then it's not very advisable that you give him this charity. And he also says that he is Vishnu, and he will not even keep all this thing to himself. He will give it to demigods, your enemies. Even if we think that we will give to Vishnu and then he will keep it, then that's also better. But he will give it to your enemies, and they will attack you back. So he gives so many arguments like this. And he said that sometimes speaking false is not condemned. And then he gave few examples. Can you think of few examples when speaking a lie is not condemned? But philosophically speaking, which situations one can speak a lie? In which situations? To say Brahmana, yeah, Mataji? Oh, somebody stealing. Okay. If the truth will offend. Yeah, that's what Krishna says, that the austerity of speech, that we should speak pleasing truth. Yeah, so there's an exhaustive list in the last chapter of, in the last verse of chapter 19. I don't even remember all the things, but they said that we can speak untruth in a marriage ceremony. We can speak untruth when we are, like if somebody is not getting married, then we can get him married by speaking nice things about him. Okay, thank you. Yeah. So, and in the business, when we want to earn a livelihood, then we can speak little untruth and we can praise our product and we can tell a lie there. No, and then he says that when it is beneficial for the cows in Brahmana culture, when we have to save this culture, then we can speak a lie. Like, there is a butcher man and his cow has run away and that was scheduled to be cut. Then if you see the cow going in a certain direction and the butcher man comes behind and asks you where the cow has gone, and then you say truthfully that she has gone there, then it's a sin. So in that case you can say a lie. And you can say a lie to save your own life. And you can say lie to flatter a woman. That's also given in the sloka. So like this, there are some situations in which you can speak a lie. Yes. Please read Bhagavatam 19 chapter last verse. There are so many interesting things. So that's what I use, and when I saw that, I was very happy that okay, I'm already following this. So then Bali Maharaj says, Shukracharya says to Bali Maharaj that this is Lord Vishnu and he will cover the whole universe in just two steps. So you will not be able to fulfill your promise to him to give three steps, and then because of which you will go to hell. So it's very dangerous to go on to fulfill your promise you have given. So you should immediately back off from there. So then we come to chapter number 20. And there Bali Maharaj, yes Prabhu? Because he could see that he is Vishnu and he will cover every position of Bali Maharaj in just two steps. And he has promised three steps. So how will you give the third step? Are you going to the last verse? Okay, maybe we can see this later. Yeah, I think it's 19th only. And then Bali Maharaj, having heard all the instruction of his guru, he thought for a second and then he replied very gravely. He said that if he is Vishnu, then I am even more inspired to give him everything. Because whatever yajna sacrifice we are doing it for the pleasure of Lord Yajna. Lord Yajna is Lord Vishnu himself. Okay. Please don't distract you. Okay. Yeah. So if he is Vishnu himself, then we should even more, we should give him everything. That's what Bali Maharaj said. And in the Bhagavatam, elsewhere, there are instructions. What are different types of adharmas one should carefully avoid? That says, vidharma pardharmasya avasha upma chala. The one that is in the canto 7, chapter 15. There it says that there are, Narada Muni is instructing that there are five kinds of adharmas. Vidharma, five types of adharmas. Adharma, religion. Yeah. Adharma Sakha Panchema Dharmagya Adharmavat Tajet. There are five branches of religion, and the person who is in knowledge of religion should give up these five branches of religion. And what are these five? Vidharma Paradharmasya Upama Avasha Upama Chala. So what is Vidharma? Vidharma is Dharma Badha Vidharmasya. That principles which obstructs one's own religious principle is Vidharma. Like if somebody can, like what Shukracharya is saying, he is giving so much other religious principles that how we should not give charity to Lord Vishnu. But the original dharma of the soul is to surrender everything to Krishna. Sarva dharman paritajya mamekam sharanam vraja. That's the original sudharma of every soul. And what Shukracharya is telling Bali Maharaj is obstructing in his executing his original dharma. So whatever he is saying is vidharma, is irreligion. Dharma badha vidharmasya paradharma anya cha udita. And paradharma is others' religion, is something which is concocted by others. So we need not follow that. Like we also read a verse previously that the real piety is in situating in one's your own one's own position. That's a real piety. I mean, Krishna many times stresses in Bhagavad Gita that we should not try to do others' duty, others' dharma perfectly. Rather, we can do our own dharma, though it is flawed with the imperfections. So, that's what Krishna is instructing, that we should always be situated in our own dharma. Like, if you are grihastha, then we should follow the dharma of grihastha. And if you are brahmachari, we should follow the dharma. So what is dharma and what is adharma is according to our own situations. So we should reject paradharma as also a religion for our own sake. And upadharma sa pakhando. And pakhand, like Lord Buddha came and he spoke about sub-religious principles like ahimsa. You know, we should not kill animals. So these religious principles are not necessarily wrong, but they are sub-religious principles. They are upadharma. So we should not give higher priority to these religious principles. And dambo shabdavit chala. And chala means when somebody does word jugglery and tries to concoct out some different meaning from the original instruction. Like many translators on Bhagavad Gita, they speak that Krishna is not asking us to surrender to him, rather to somebody beyond Krishna, somebody inside Krishna we have to surrender to. Like Mayavad interpretation of when Krishna says Saradharman Paritajya Mamikam Sharanam Virja, so they say that they do word jugglery and say that it is not Krishna we have to surrender, it is something inside Krishna, that Brahman inside Krishna we have to surrender to. So such things are chala, they are cheating religions. And Abhasha is something which looks like religious principle, but it is not really a religious principle. So like this, we have to reject these five types of religion. We can see in detail in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 15th chapter, verse number 12 to 15. So Yamaraj has said in that episode of Ajamil, when all the Yamdutas came back defeated by the Vishnudutas, and they were complaining that seems like there is other higher power than you. And then Yamaraj explains that dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, that the real religious principles is enacted by Supreme Lord. And navai vidur rishyanapi deva, it is not known even to the rishis or even to the demigods. It's that which is given by Lord Vishnu himself. And then he goes on to list 12 Mahajans. So can you list any one of those Mahajans? Bali Maharaj. Yeah? Brahma, Yamraj, Kumara, Shambhu, Bhishma, Pralad, Janak. Not Vyas, but Sukhdev Goswami and Janak Maharaj. Yeah. So these are 12 Mahajans. So we can see that Bali Maharaj is counted as one of the Mahajans. And why is that? Bali Maharaj, his whole life, he had lived in the family of demons. And we have seen that he has been fighting with demigods for so many manvantaras. Like, he was there in the previous Manu. In this Manu also, he was engaged with fight with the demigods. In the next Manu also, he will become Indra. So in the Shravani Manu. So such a long period, he is living with demons and he is engaging in the welfare activities of the demons as if he is one of them. And we heard that the churning of ocean pastime and how the demons were fighting. So I was imagining that what would Bali Maharaj be doing? Would he also be like running after nectar like other demons? But based on the revelation in this chapter about his character, we can see that he was not like one of them. He was a very shant and he was very detached personality. He was doing everything out of his duty as he is in a particular position, but in his heart he was a great devotee. That's what is revealed in this chapter. So when he shows up his real character, that he is a great devotee of Lord, and that's why he is counted as one of 12 Mahajans. Mahajans are the personalities who knows how to apply the principles of religion according to time, place and circumstances. Like we hear example of Bhishma Pitama. So he was also on the side of Kauravas, but he was a great devotee. He is counted, not even Maharaj Yudhishthira is counted in the 12 Mahajans, but Bhishma is counted. So he is a great devotee, and sometimes he might offend saying so many other reasons. But he is there, the original reason for him to oppose Lord is because Lord Krishna want him to glorify his some other devotee. And that's what these devotees are doing. Like such great personalities like Lord Shiva, Maharaj Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, these personalities are playing their role just to glorify Lord, just following the instruction of Lord. And they are not caring about their own image. Like Lord Shiva, he got defeated. Like Prabhuji explained in last pastime that he got defeated by Mohini Murti. He got attracted by the Maya of Lord Vishnu, but he didn't feel any bad. He felt proud on the contrary that he is defeated by his glorious master. So these are great souls that their only thinking is how to glorify Lord and not to what do people think about me. So that's why they are Mahajanas and they know how to apply a particular religious principle in different time, place and circumstances. So after this, we hear that in this verse that Shukracharya was inspired by Lord. Deva Prahintam. What is that word? Shukracharya was inspired by Lord to curse Bali Maharaj. So we see that Shukracharya was cursing Lord, but he's also a great personality. He also understood the motive of Lord Vishnu, and he's also helping Lord Vishnu by making it more dramatic. And he is cursing Bali Maharaj so that his glory will come out in the future. And so when Bali Maharaj was determined to give everything to Lord Vaman, then he washed his lotus feet again, and then Lord assumed a gigantic form, and in one step he covered everything on the Bhumandal, Bhur Loka, and all the lower planetary system. He covered, and in the next step, his feet went up to the Brahma Loka, and it pierced the covering of the universe, and because of which the water from the outside the universe came inside the universe, and that later became known as Mother Ganges. So that water came and it washed Lord's lotus feet and it started falling downwards, and he was worshipped in the Brahma Loka by Brahmaji and other demigods there. And that same water is held by Lord Brahma in his Kamandalu. That's the purifying water. And the same water is held by Lord Shiva on his head. So that shows that the superiority of Lord Vishnu. So this pastime itself is enough to prove that Lord Vishnu is supreme among Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So after which, when Lord Vamandev covered everything in just two steps, he chastised Bali Maharaj and he said, where would I keep my third step now? You have promised me three steps and you were so proud and you were so foolishly proud of your position that you will give me three steps. Now how will you give me? And if you cannot give me, you have to go to hell and live in the hellish planets. So like this, Lord is chastising Bali Maharaj very severely. And then he ordered Garuna to go and bind the Bali Maharaj like a prisoner, because he could not fulfill his promise, and then Lord made him a prisoner. And when Lord did that, all the universe, all around, people said, oh, this is not good, this is not proper, what Lord Vishnu is doing is not proper. So Lord Vishnu himself is doing something which is not proper, and he is binding, so he is going on the extreme, and he is in order to chastise Bali Maharaj. So why is Lord doing that? So that will be revealed later. So seeing that, Prahlad Maharaj came and he offered obeisance to Lord Vamandev, and he said, Lord, it is you only who gave all this opulence to Bali Maharaj, and it is you only who is taking it away. So in both you are acting very beautifully, and it's very appropriate on your part to chastise this foolish person, that he was so much proud. So this opulence was making him proud, so you have taken it away. So that's very good. That's your mercy upon us demons, that you always come and save us. And then hearing this, Lord Brahma could not hold it anymore. He could not tolerate such injustice behavior to Bali Maharaj, and he was about to speak, and then immediately wife of Bali Maharaj came and she started speaking. She was very much afraid that Lord has bound Bali Maharaj and maybe he will beat him also, so she was very scared. And so when you have to plead to somebody superior, then you take fault on your own side, like when your child has done something wrong and he has offended some big personality by mistake, then the mother would come and chastise the child, and the father would chastise and try to pacify the superior person that he is a foolish person, please don't chastise him anymore. So like this, she starts speaking that he is a foolish person, he doesn't understand that everything is yours, and he thought it is his, that's why he thought that he can give you charity. So like this, so she was also speaking like this, and then Brahmaji could not stop anymore, and he said, Lord, there is so much glory in offering just a small leaf to you, just a small water to you, patram pushpam phalam tuyam jivam bhakti prayam, that you have said in Bhagavad Gita also. That's not what he said, but he said in the Bhagavad Gita that if you offer just a small water, just a leaf, a small flower, a small fruit, then you, there is so much glory to that a person can attain liberation by doing that. We have heard the story in Prabhuji's class of a person how he offered just one flower to Lord and he was saved from hell. And later on he offered so many flowers to Lord and he went to Vaikuntha planet. So there is a glory of offering even a small pranam or even a small object to you. That and this Bali Maharaj has offered three worlds to you. So he certainly does not deserve to be punished anymore. So please release him, release him. So he was like this. He was sitting on the side of Bali Maharaj. And then hearing Brahmaji like this perplexed, Lord Vamandev said, can we go to chapter number 22? Verse number 29. So Lord says that, although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends, although suffering the pain of being bound and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his word. So Lord is appreciating now Bali Maharaj. So he was testing him all the while. So we can see that how Bali Maharaj has lost everything, still he was not disturbed by all that, and he was firmly fixed in his determination that he will offer everything to Lord Vishnu. He was in so much in love with Lord Vishnu that he wanted to offer everything irrespective of what is happening to him. So that's why he is counted as one of the examples of offering everything to Lord. There are 9 limbs of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam. So among which we have one example for each limb. So can we just do this small exercise? So who is the example of Shravanam? Parishad. And Kirtanam? And Smaranam? And Pada Sevanam? And Dasyam? And Sakyam? And Vandanam? Akur Rao ke Mother Kunti. And what am I forgetting? Pujanam and Atmanivedanam. So for the Pujanam, Prithvi Maharaj. And Atmanivedanam is Bali Maharaj. So because of this characteristic, he is counted one of the also Mahajans and also one of the examples of Atmanivedanam. So it's a very extreme situation. We cannot tolerate this. I mean, if so many things are going against us and to such an extent that it's not stopping, it's going and even your own family members are rebuking you. So nobody is there to support you and you are simply standing alone. And you are being chastised, defamed, humiliated in front of the whole universe. And if a beggar is humiliated, then not a big deal. He was a king of the whole universe. And then he fell down from such an angle. So such an extreme situation and still he tolerated all that with the right mindset. And that's why he is counted as such a great example. So this example of Bali Maharaj I also compare with the last stanza of Shastakam, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Ashishriva Padratam Pinashtama Udarsinan Manmatam Kurotuva Itatatava Vidhatilam Patamat Pran Nasat Sahiv Naparu, that in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying the mood of gopis, the mood of Radharani, that O Lord, even it's up to you, either you embrace me and make me happy or you reject me and make me heartbroken. Still in both situations you are my Lord in all situations. So that's what is Bali Maharaj is showing, that mood that whether Lord gave him everything or takes away everything, he is still surrendered to Lord Vishnu. And then being happy with the Bali Maharaj behavior, at the end Lord Vamandev offered him Sutal planet and he said that planet is created, is personally protected by Lord, and Lord Vamandev gave him a lot of opulences which is desired even by the demigods, and even demigods cannot get such an exalted planet. So once Narada Muni went to the Sutal planet and he noticed that this planet is even more glorious than the Swarg planet. It's called Bilva Swarg. Bilva means it is hidden inside the earthly planets. So it's called Bilva Swarg. Although there is no sunlight there, but still it's much more opulent than Swarga planet. And Lord Vamandev promised Bali Maharaj that he will be the doorkeeper always guarding him. So that's the extent to which Bali Maharaj has pleased Lord Vamandev, that he will always remain in his palace as a doorkeeper, and so that he can always see Lord Vamandev every day, and he will not be affected by demonic association. And Lord said that whichever demon goes against you, my chakra will cut his head. So he gave him such a nice position, such a safe and secure, and every day he can have direct darshan of Lord. And he instructed Prahlad Maharaj also to go and live with Bali Maharaj. In this, there is one more side pastime. So when Lord Vamandev was coming in the arena of Bali Maharaj, there was sister of Bali Maharaj. When she saw the beautiful form, the boy form of Lord Vamandev, she felt so much like a mother, motherly affection to that boy, that she wanted to feed him milk, her own milk. But when Vamandev assumed a very gigantic form and he took away everything from Bali Maharaj, then she felt very angry on Lord. And she wanted to kill Lord. So Lord, being in the heart, he noticed that desire, both the desires of that lady. And the next birth, he gave her a life of Putana. So it is, there's a shloka, Uddhava ji is remembering, Aho Bakiyam Stanakal Kutam, that Lord is so, what is that? Jigham Shaya Payat Apya Shadvi. Levi Gatim Dhatri Rachitotonyam Kimvadayalam Sharnam Brajema. So Uddhava is saying that which other more merciful Lord will I go to than Lord Krishna, who had given a mother like position to this which Putana, who wanted to kill Lord Krishna. So here we see a very beautiful quality of Lord, that Lord is Sargrahi, he's a Bhavgrahi, he sees the heart of the devotee, and he sees the good quality in the heart of devotee, and he ignores all the bad qualities of a devotee, and he fans that good quality and makes it large. So that lady had two desires. That lady had desire to kill Lord, and that lady had desire to feed milk to that Lord. And Lord fulfilled both the desires, but eventually he gave importance to the desire of feeding milk, and he gave her the position of mother in the spiritual world. So that is Lord. We might feel envious to Lord, but if we have small desire to serve Krishna, then he will just see that one quality, and based on that, he will give us all good fortune. So that's a good quality of Lord. Yeah. So in the future, when the time will come for the Bali Maharaj to again become the Indra, then the Indra will not give back his kingdom back to the Bali Maharaj. So although Lord Upendra, Lord Vamandev helped Indra to gain his kingdom from the Bali Maharaj, but the time will be over, when the time will come to give back that opulence to Bali Maharaj, then he will be so much attached that he will be willing to fight with Lord, and Lord will incarnate in the next Manvantara as Sarvabhaum. So in the previous Manvantara, Lord came as Lord Ajita, and he performed that shunning of ocean pastime. In this Manvantara, Lord came as Lord Vamandev, also called Lord Upendra. And in the next Manvantara, Lord will come as Lord Sarvabhaum, and he will snatch the kingdom away from Indra and give it back to Bali and appoint him as the next Indra. So after all this pastime is over, then Lord goes to Shukracharya, who was still sitting, and when all the demons have gone to Sutal planet, Shukracharya was still sitting and thinking, what has happened? What he has cursed, actually what his curse came true and also not true. So he had cursed that Bali Maharaj that you will go to hellish planet, you know, and you will lose all your opulence. That was true. But he didn't say that will stay forever like that. So immediately Lord gave him back all the opulence and he sent him to hellish planets. Sutala is one of the hellish planets, but it is not one of the hellish. I mean, it is not in the sense that the symptoms there is not hellish. It's very glorious. So then Lord goes to the Shukracharya and jokingly asks him, so what do you think has gone wrong? I mean, you are very, very intelligent and you are a great thinker, but so everything has gone against whatever you desire. So can you go back to verse number 16 of chapter 23? So these are the words of Shukracharya. Mantras, mantratas, tandratas, shidram, desha, kalartha, vastata, sarvam, karoti, nishidram, anusankirtanam tava. Translation. Shukracharya says that there may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles, and moreover, there may be discrepancy in regard to time, place, and person, and paraphernalia, but when your lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. So now Shukracharya is saying nice things about Lord Vishnu and his holy names. So Shukracharya understand all this. So he's also a great personality. So it was the pastime where Shukracharya also, the Lord is joking with him and he's asking that what is wrong, and then he's admitting that if anything goes wrong, if you chant your holy name, everything is alright. So we also see when Dhruva Maharaj was performing austerities during his last days of his life, and then he saw the Vishnudas coming down to take him back to the Vaikuntha planets, then he, for a moment, he got confused that what he should do, how he should offer obeisances to these Vishnudas, or how he should treat them. So he was confused that he couldn't think of a good way of treating. Then he immediately started chanting holy names of Lord. So when we chant holy names of Lord, then all the discrepancies are covered. So similarly, when we go to the offering deity worship and we do all this puja, so certainly there are many discrepancies we will do. There are many offenses we will do. So it's always good advice that we can always chant the holy names while we do deity worship, and so that all of these will be nullified, and then that will give us some qualification. Yeah. So this is all the pastime of Bali Maharaj and Lord Vamandev. I would stop here and ask if there are any questions. Yeah, I forgot to say that. So when Lord Vamandev was asking and rebuking Bali Maharaj that everything is gone, where should I put my third step? Then he said, Lord, the person who possesses all the wealth is two times more valuable than the wealth itself. So I offer myself to you. That you have taken my wealth, but now I offer myself to you and you can put your feet on me. No. After he said that later. First he captured him, and this pastime of Lord, he is testing him to the extreme by seeing that his mental equilibrium is still intact.